where the palm trees sway. There's a special show to brighten up your day. From rockin' festivals to Broadway dreams, tune in with Bonnie G, it's a desert scene. The desert scene with Bonnie G. Meet the stars and feel the beat. From the Coachella Valley is the place to be for all the culture, fun, and harmony. The desert scene, yeah, with Bonnie G.
From Palm Springs, California, this is The Desert Scene, celebrating the arts, entertainment, and culture of the Coachella Valley and desert cities. Presented by the Mutual Broadcasting System, The Desert Scene spotlights local theater, music, comedy, festivals, and more. Now, here's your host, Bonnie G.
Welcome to The Desert Scene. So happy to have you here today. And very happy to welcome to the show Gina Zolman, who's a friend of mine, wonderful singer-songwriter. Welcome to the show.
Good to be here, Bonnie.
So I know you've got a lot of current, recent good news, but I want to go back a little bit. So you started singing at age 6 at a PTA meeting, correct?
Correct. We were learning about Japan, and I learned a song about a cherry blossom tree called Sakura. And apparently I nailed it because they recommended me to the PTA meeting, and I sang it in front of 600 people. Flawlessly, apparently, and without any stage fright.
I'm amazed at that, age 6. That's pretty, most 6-year-olds, I think, would be a little nervous. So what, did you start in choirs after that?
Yes, you know, they test you. I could have gone into orchestra or choir, but I wanted to be more of a performance aspect, like choir. But I wrote plays, too, and I wrote parodies. Okay. I wrote my first parody at age 9 to the tune of Yesterday.
Wow. Wow. So you, this, now, was this in your genes? Anybody in your family also musical in that way?
That's a very good question. The only thing that I know of is my dad was a singer in college. And I don't know if you remember the Jack Benny show.
Of course.
But Dennis Day was the boy singer.
Yeah.
And he sang in the same glee club as my dad.
Wow. Okay.
But that's the only connection. My mom said, her aunt was a flapper.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say she was a professional flapper. Yeah. That was just the 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
But she didn't do vaudeville or anything.
Right. So did you know at that age you were pretty sure this is where you were going to go career-wise?
You know, I was enamored of humorous songs.
Okay.
I grew up in a very funny home with 3 older brothers, and we had Mad Magazine every week, and we listened to the Smothers Brothers and Bill Cosby and Godfrey Cambridge and Alan Sherman and Tom Lehrer.
Okay.
And I memorized those songs. We had all the albums. I memorized all the Smothers Brothers, and I can sing you to this day, don't make me, at least a dozen of Mad Magazine parodies.
Okay. That's pretty impressive. Now, what did your family think about sort of that you were going to maybe pursue this career-wise?
You know, Bonnie, it was a very old-fashioned Republican home I grew up in, where my mother was traditional stay-at-home mom, and my dad was the breadwinner salesman, and my 3 older brothers were alpha males with their guns and their cars and their fishing and their hunting. And I played with dolls and had girlfriends, and we'd sing Dean Martin songs to our hairbrushes and stuff.
Right.
But I was always putting on shows and writing songs and singing, and I really wanted to be in show business. Mm-hmm. But I was a second-class citizen like my mother in this traditional home, and I was supposed to take care of my brothers and make their beds and feed them and... even though I excelled at school, even though I got into a private girls' high school that was hard to get into, even though I went to UC San Diego, which you had to be a scholar to get into because very competitive, it wasn't until I became a stockbroker training on Wall Street that my family thought, well, maybe she isn't just somebody
to make the beds and cook. Yeah, yeah.
And they were not pleased when this happened. It was like a... how did we miss that? You know, why didn't we snuff that out a long time ago?
So did you become a stockbroker like right after college?
Well, I was in the singing groups in high school at the Catholic Girls School. I produced Oklahoma for us. My senior year, I was Aunt Eller with the braces.
Okay.
And I did all the choirs. I was in opera. I studied opera, and I was a music minor. I was a linguistics mm-hmm. major, so I speak about four languages, and I had Latin for 5 years. Okay. But the answer is, I thought, and this is a lot of people think this way, I didn't think I could go to Broadway. Mm-hmm. I was a little heavy set. I thought I looked like the girl next door. Mm-hmm. I didn't look like a beauty queen. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't have a chance. Mm-hmm. So I thought, what can I do? I said, I can do sales like my dad because I have a big personality. Yeah. What kind of sales? I said, well, you got to sell expensive things to rich people.
Okay.
So there were three jobs on the job board that fit that bill. And I got two of the three. I got the jobs, and I asked my dad, which one should I pick? He said, do the stockbroker job.
Yeah.
So I was trained on Wall Street. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was very good at it, but it was corrupt, Bonnie.
Yeah.
I could go and write a novel about it.
Yeah, I'm sure. So I want to make sure we get all this in. So you were very successful as a stockbroker.
Yes.
And then what was the turnaround? What got you back to performing?
Well, I started hanging out at the comedy clubs. I worked for my dad's business as an executive after being a stockbroker.
Okay.
And that was horrible, but I did it. But I was going to the improv every night.
Okay.
Drinking my Diet Coke, sitting next to Christopher Lloyd and Demi Moore. And I got to know Robert Blake and Rosie O'Donnell mm-hmm. was there. Anyway, so I studied stand-up.
Okay.
And that transitioned into me doing cabaret because I wasn't convinced I had an act as a stand-up because I did characters. I said, well, how can I do characters? I said a cabaret show.
Yeah.
So I took a cabaret act show from a class at UCLA Extension from Shelley Markham, who's a big-time accompanist and well-known. And a year later, I did my first one-woman show in 1987, the PMS poster woman. She jokes, she sings, she bloats.
Okay.
And that was the start, and that was in 1987. And since then, I've done shows all over L.A. and Palm Springs mostly. Mm-hmm. I headlined at the Hollywood Roosevelt Cinegrill across from the Mann's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard with my name in a 30-foot marquee, selling out Saturday nights, three shows, standing ovations. And that was the time I should have gone to New York. Mm-hmm. That was 1993.
So why didn't you?
My dad died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that was like the wind beneath my wings was gone.
Yeah.
And for the next 10 years, I just dwindled. Mm-hmm. I did weddings or I did
small
performances here or there.
Yeah.
And I did under the radar things like, you know, karaoke and awful piano bars in L.A. But the idea that I could go to New York on my own, having been kind of this second-class princess, I did not have to earn money, Bonnie. I did not. How was I going to be a waitress? I had no idea how to do that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until about 2005, 2004, I was going to turn 50. Mm-hmm. So I tell you what I did. I got a gal. Do you remember Irene Soderbergh?
Mm-hmm, of course.
Her girlfriend, Cindy Kendall, was a videographer for Irene and did all of her little cute videos. I said, Cindy, I'm going to have a comeback. Film me.
Film me, yeah.
So over a year, we filmed Second Act, my comeback.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
I did B-movie National Anthem gigs. I had a church gig.
Yeah.
And I went to the gym and had a trainer. And I had this surgery to make myself look better. All of it's on film. I have 72 hours. Anyways, I could tell you the whole story of that. I still have the archival footage for the future third act. Because that film never got made.
Yeah.
But what it did was it reinvigorated me. Mm-hmm. And I've done shows since then. I did shows at the Arthur Newman. Mm-hmm. I did shows at the Gardenia.
Yeah.
I did Michelli's. I did Vitello's in Studio City. Mm-hmm. And each time the visionary entrepreneur associated with the venues like Tom Rolla and Michael Sterling and so on, was the name of the fellow that was
Clifford Bell?
Clifford Bell, okay. Yes. these people really embraced me. Mm-hmm. And yet we know that all that can happen and cabaret can be just a straight uphill climb. Yeah.
I want to get to, because I want to make sure we get this in here. So let's just jump a little bit to this CD, Gina Zolman Originals, and the Josie Award and what's been happening lately.
Well, I started doing songwriting I would say about 4 years ago. And my final teacher, I had five teachers. The final teacher required me to put music to it. So I had about 80 songs at mm-hmm. that point. So I put on a one-woman show about Anne Murray. Mm-hmm. And she always had original music. So I wrote songs for Anne Murray. And I got my final teacher to be my co-writer. He's a made man, songs with Rascal Flatts and mm-hmm. Little Big Town, Sarah Evans. And these songs turned out great. We ended up pitching them to a publicist who got us to their record label that they represent, and we got signed. I did a show of the first 13 songs we wrote, and at that show, the sound person said I had a hit record. And the sound person recommended me to these people in Canada, and I got on the Canadian radio.
Excellent.
So that's been a year. I've had four songs on Canadian radio. My fifth one comes out. It's a Christmas song in December. And in the middle of this, the same publicist who really embraced me, and you can't invent the kind of enthusiasm they have for me.
Yeah.
They, unbeknownst to me, submitted me to a major competition
called the Josie Awards.
Called the Josie Awards, which is in Nashville. And I got into this elite group of 10 people nominated for mm-hmm. Adult Contemporary. Now, I didn't win, but 86,000 people yeah. applied for these awards.
So that's pretty big honor. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was an honor to be there. I went on November 2nd.
Yeah. Yeah. And tell me about your writing process. When you sit, did you just have songs in your head all the time that just kind of rattle around in
well,
there?
Well, one of my teachers was Mark Winkler, who's a jazz lyricist and performer. He's a big time success. His first major breakthrough was he wrote a song for Liza Minnelli. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten over 250 of his songs recorded. And Mark said, think about song titles. They're so important. So I'm like making lists of song titles to tell you about my process all the time. And I think of something like recently, I thought of this title, Quit Quitting Me, for a country song. We wrote
it. I love that.
We
yeah.
We wrote it.
Yeah.
I thought of the song, I Miss Your Love. Mm-hmm. But when I wrote it, at the end of I Miss Your Love, because I had made a list song, and that's a type of song, a mm-hmm. list song.
Yeah.
I said, and all of the above. And all of the above was so strong, I called the song All of the Above. So that's going to be on the next album. So to tell you the truth, the title is very important to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I do a stream of consciousness, like poem to start, just get all of my thoughts out about it. And then I'll copy that to another. I have an app. It's called Rhymer's Block. I'll copy that exact stream of consciousness and turn it into a song. Verse, chorus, bridge, whatever. Yeah. And then I will ruminate about it and maybe rewrite it another time before I submit it to Kevin, who is now my number one co-writer.
Yeah.
And Kevin is a made man as a lyricist. He not only writes and produces the music, but he was a staff writer for Warner Chappell. He worked in Nashville for a dozen years. So he's a lyricist. I'm a budding lyricist yeah. in comparison. So the other thing you do is you work with people who are better than you.
Yes, that's always a good thing. Well, Gina Zolman Original, this is your first CD. Is this your only CD right now?
No, the second one. The okay. first CD was a culmination of everything I'd ever loved doing in cabaret.
Yeah.
It's called Anywhere With You.
Okay.
And that was done at Capitol Records with a full studio musicians. The second album is me and Kevin only.
Gina Zolman Originals. Now, where can people get this?
On my website, GinaZolman.com, and okay. also Spotify.
Okay, excellent. Well, you're just rocking and rolling. My goodness gracious. And so this next song comes out at Christmas time?
It's called New Favorite Christmas Song. And the guy that did the sheet music for me in Canada, Tom Arnson, does all my sheet music. He wrote me a private note. And this guy does all the famous Canadian people's music. He says, Gina, people are going to be singing this song in 100 years.
Well, that's high praise. That's high praise. On that note, Gina Zolman, thank you so much. Best of luck. Congratulations on the award and on all your CDs. And I think we're going to be hearing a lot more from you in the near future.
Thank
really
you,
appreciate
Bonnie.
It. All right. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends. And you can subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts. Just hit the like and subscribe button. And we'll see you the next time on The Desert Scene.
The Desert Scene with Bonnie G. Meet the stars and feel the beat. From the Coachella Valley, it's the place to be. For all the culture, fun, and harmony. The Desert Scene, yeah, with Bonnie G. The Desert Scene's where you belong, with Mutual Broadcasting's Bonnie G. Just sing along. Just sing along.